The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2024, and we are officially 2 weeks away, 14 days from the NFL Draft in Detroit, Michigan, as we welcome you in to the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite, taste you can depend on. We've got a good crew with you today, as we are officially 2 weeks out. It's crazy to believe. I feel like we say that every time, but it is. Even more, as we get closer and closer, the crazier. We've got Zach Wolchek, Brian Broaddus, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeomans with Chris Beam in the back signing magazines for all those fans out there to enjoy. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Glad you're with us. All right, Nick, we're getting there. Last couple weeks, any big gut feeling that you've got going on? Making a call 2 weeks out, who's going to be the pick at 24?
Well, before we get there, before we even get to the draft stuff, Brian with the Masters hoodie over here reminds me that the Masters starts today, so it's always a great time of the year whenever the Masters gets going.
I thought you were
going
to say something about the color.
No, I thought you were a sky blue guy. I am a big sky blue guy, personally.
Right. I've seen you in your sky blue.
Hey, there you go. You pay attention.
It's beautiful. You look at his shoes, they're probably sky blue. You get the orange? What do you got
on? Not today. Darn. Yeah, sorry about that.
Not today.
Gut feeling of who do I think is
Who's
at 24?
Yeah.
I don't think Graham Barton is going to be there at 24, so my gut feeling is that they just trade back. I'm not going to give you a player because I don't know what that would look like because the trade back scenarios are all very multiple, but I think my gut feeling right now is that they trade back out of 24.
Okay. What do you think, Brian? Just gut feeling.
I think that he's on to something. I also feel like, though, it is going to be a center, though. I don't know which center. You mentioned Graham Barton. You know, we'll see what happens with Powers Johnson as well at Oregon. What I'm starting to hear is there's some medical information that we're going to need to run down on some of these guys. So let's hope that that doesn't deter anything that we've worked on so far. I've got a list of guys that I need to ask about. And so, you know, hopefully in the next week we'll have a little bit clearer understanding. But there's some significant names that we need to follow up on for medical stuff to see if they're actually clear. Nothing worse than getting this draft and starting to work on it, and then all of a sudden you're wondering why a guy's sliding.
Sure.
And then you find out it's a medical situation. So, but to answer your question, I think they're going to take one of these centers. I like the idea about trading back, though, too, especially if the right pocket of players are there for you.
What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know my dream's Graham Barton. I'm with you, Nick. I think as we get closer to this draft, it's unlikely he's there at 24. I think a trade back is likely, and I'd go with Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia, would be
in
my
a trade back
right
scenario.
Now. In a trade back, yeah.
I like that.
Because I worry about, like, maybe Jackson Powers Johnson still goes ahead of you, but I wonder about, you know, some of the medicals there that we've heard possibly could be a red flag. And look, Frazier's coming off an injury, too, but I don't think he's got the long list.
So is Barton.
Yeah, with Barton,
shoulder,
Barton is as well.
With the shoulder.
You've got the leg and the shoulder. Both have worked out, though. We've gotten to see him. I think we're both trending positive to be available for training camps.
Yep.
I think you're – Graham Barton, if he's there, he's the pick. I'm right there with you guys. I think if he's at 24, he's just – it makes way too much sense. It really does. The personal – or the position flex, the talent level, it all is there for 24. I don't think he'll be there. So I'm right there with you guys. I think it's either going to be a Jackson Powers Johnson or you're going to talk about one of these tackles, whichever one's at the top of their list. I would say it's probably a Marius Mims is probably my guess out of the tackles, but that's a guess at this point, really.
Can you guys throw a wild card? Just throw something that nobody's even thought about.
Kingsley Suamataia.
Yeah,
BYU.
I think
a good one
as a tackle. Maybe over a Guyton. I think that might be a guy. Absolutely, that they could like. He was the 30 visit, that's so certainly.
Could you throw another position?
I think
other than an offensive line,
Edgerrin Cooper.
At A&M.
In the first? As a trade back, yeah.
If you trade out of the first, is that more of a realistic opportunity?
Or I don't
if you're
think
sitting
you get
there at 29-30?
I think even if you trade back, with, let's say, Buffalo at 28, I think if you get wiped and maybe there's just you don't like the offensive lineman, I think Hooper's definitely in play.
Let me ask you a question here, and I've kind of discussed this with Kyle a little bit. For me, I think Graham Barton is the only player that would keep me at 24. I'm starting to lean towards the idea that Byron Murphy would keep me at 24 as well.
Okay.
Okay.
But I'm not there yet, but I'm leaning towards that idea.
That's why I asked you that question. I felt like, though, is there going to be somebody there that we're really not thinking about that could be that guy? And Murphy, to me, makes a lot of sense.
I would take Murphy.
For that. Would you take any of those corners?
It depends on who's on the board. If Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold were on the board,
those would be
I would
the only
that.
Two.
The only two. So like the Wiggins from Clemson would do nothing for you guys.
No, I would pass.
I'm good on Wiggins.
I think he would be there.
Would any of these edges do anything for you?
Verse would. I would take Verse there.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're, yeah, open. We're open.
I would take Latu there if he's there. Even with the injuries, I'd still take him there. He's so dynamic.
Another thing about some of those big names being there, though, is that you have those same teams that are right there at 28, 32 that would love to jump up and grab them just as much as you would love to take them, which means that trade value is probably a little bit higher. You can probably get more out of it. So if there is a Liatu Latu or even a Jared Verse sitting there at 24 and, you know, let's say Detroit hits you up, hey, would really love to come up and grab that pick. All right, why don't you give me your second? We just kind of work from there. But
you know, this is a great transition. We've already been talking about this a little bit. Our first segment today is mock drafts. We're going to go through all seven of these first-round mocks. I've got a scenario for you guys sitting on the board currently at 24.
Mm-hmm.
The pick before us, the Minnesota Vikings, took Graham Barton from Duke.
Damn, off the board.
He is not available at 24.
Damn Scandinavians.
You guys want to make a pick, or you trying to trade out of this? Because this is exactly what Brian just asked. There are some names here. Amarius Mims from Georgia, Kool-Aid McKintry from Alabama, Jackson Powers Johnson, Tyler Newbin, who I know you like, Brian.
I do.
Out of Minnesota, Peyton Wilson, North Carolina State, Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, and then basically the tackles that we've talked about. Tyler Guyton, center in Zach Frazier, still there. Braden Fisk is there from Florida State. Are you pulling the parachute? Are you getting out of that first round?
You mentioned a lot of good names, which to me means let's back up. Let's back it up. Back it up.
All right, well, we have to figure out, though,
where are you going?
Is this our best chance to recoup picks? Are we going to have another shot to do this?
I think this is your best chance.
I think this is the best chance.
Yeah, we're not going to have a shot in the second round, we don't feel like, right?
No.
Okay.
Not as good as this.
If we don't... The question I now have is, I really do, and I would argue in a room, and you argue about this before, your stack is set, so all the arguing, I would argue that let's look at the center from Oregon.
Okay,
let's really talk about what we're doing here. You know, when we came into this draft, what were some of the things that we were talking about? What were some of our needs? What were some of the things? Is this guy... Of all those guys that we're talking about, are we comfortable going away from a guy that might be the best player at that position?
Mm.
I don't know how you guys feel about it. Do you have Barton over Powers Johnson?
Yeah, and it's flipped within the last week and a half.
Okay, but initially,
flip-flopping. Yeah. I love it.
Are you doing it because of the medical?
Yes. Medical instincts, intellectual, everything I've heard about Graham Barton and anybody who's had a conversation with him, he's the smartest player in this
draft. But we just lost him, right? We just lost your guy. Okay, so I need you now to kind of give me somebody else you're thinking about. And you're not interested in taking the center then at this point, are you?
I just feel like you could parachute back a few picks and still be able to pick up a position of need at, let's say, 28, 29, 30. And then if you don't get the center, you circle back in the second, you could still get Zach Frazier.
Ring, ring. The Buffalo Bills are on the phone. They have pick number 28, and they are offering you pick 128, which is at the tail end of the fourth round, and pick number 133, which is a comp pick at the tail end of the fourth round.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Now, that's a trade we've talked about before with Buffalo. Yeah. They have a pick at the end of the third round. Can we hold them up for that? Okay. That's the question you have to ask right now. Do they have a pick at – what's their pick at the end of the third round?
I don't believe they have one.
I can see.
They go 60, 128, 133.
Let's see. They don't have a third. No third. Why was that a team that we were talking about? Buffalo and Baltimore were the two teams we were talking about.
Maybe it's Baltimore.
Baltimore, I thought both those teams had picks at the end of the third round.
Or I think it's San Francisco, actually. I think San Francisco 99.
There were three teams that we're dealing with. Did Buffalo just give up that pick? Because at one point in time, I know that we talked about Buffalo as a trade partner because of their wanting a wide receiver.
Well, those two picks, the two fourth round picks, 128 and 133, add up to plus 3.5 on the trade chart. So Dallas is plus 3.5 if they accept that two fourth round picks. They're both at the tail end.
Okay. I was thinking they had a tank-a-thon.
Yeah.
They
so got, right? We've got San Francisco has that pick 94.
Okay.
Right at the end of the third.
So the best we're going to do from Buffalo are what, 2 fours or just 1 4?
2 fours. 128 and 133.
That puts us back in the mix.
You could get, if you move from 24 down to 31 from San Francisco, they would give you 94, which is that back end, back half of the third round.
Right.
And they would also give you your original 124 back from Trey Lance.
Okay, so Brian, let me know if I'm on the right thinking here. So if we're going to do this, our conversation needs to be Buffalo, we think, is coming up for a wide receiver, right?
That's what I thought all along, because I thought there were three teams. Buffalo was the team that was targeting maybe a wide receiver.
They want Brian Thomas Jr.
The depth of the wide receiver thing, they might not come for one, though.
Mm-hmm. So the teams behind us, let's say, all right, we do want a center. We got Green Bay, we got Tampa Bay, we got Arizona. Green Bay could take a center, right? Tampa Bay, I don't think so. I don't think Tampa Bay's – I mean, maybe they could be looking at a center. I don't think that that's where they'll go. I don't think that's where Arizona's going to go. But is it worth moving out? And at 25, we got to wonder, is Green Bay going to take our guy if that's where we want to go?
It sounds like we got enough guys.
Okay.
I would argue for the center from Oregon myself. You know, that's the one I would argue for. But I also realize, though – this is probably my best chance to get picks.
Mm-hmm.
I feel comfortable with Frazier from West Virginia, you know, but I just don't know. I would be kind of stuck, but I don't feel like that we're going to have another opportunity to do this.
Your camera just went sky high.
Oh, mine did.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
And then it came back and it pointed on me, so I gave it a side eye. All right, what are you thinking here? Jackson Powers, Johnson,
your stack is going to tell you whether you make this trade or not.
Yeah.
If the room doesn't feel good enough about it, then I've got to step back and say, okay, you guys, you're going to win this one.
What do you think, Zach?
I like your argument. To me, if it's Barton, there's no chance I'm trading. I think Frazier is close enough to Powers Johnson where if Green Bay were to pull that trigger, I still feel good about Frazier at 28 to where I think it's worth it. I think I'm going to just go ahead and make this trade, cross my fingers.
Are we doing 49ers or Bills? I'm thinking 49ers in my case.
So the 49ers,
you're getting the better.
You get a third. This is why I was going to hold one of these teams up for that third, because it's the last pick of night two. It's one of the last picks.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could get ahead of all those teams that are going to sleep on their board, I could pick off the best player in the, and maybe I have a third round or second round grade on some.
I'm in on the gamble.
Would you? So one third round pick for San Francisco or 2 fourth round picks from Buffalo to move, and you're moving further down. Remember that you're going four spots if it's Buffalo and you're picking
the Buffalo
two
picks are like the Buffalo picks are they're in the draft, right?
So they're 128 and 133.
Yes,
at the end in the fourth.
I'd rather pick up the third,
or I could get 94.
Give me the third.
I want an extra top 100 pick.
because to me those Buffalo picks are like at the end of that fourth round. There are like fifth round picks. If you really want to look at it.
Yeah, give me the 94.
So we're going to take the trade. We're going to trade back just for the heck of it. If we didn't trade back, the pick would be Jackson Powers Johnson. I would argue that.
I don't want to. I'm not trying to convince anybody here. I think our stack might say differently, though.
Yeah.
You know, our stack might say differently.
Who are the tackles there? You said Mims,
Amarius Mims,
your BYU guy, right?
Kingsley.
Yeah. Suamatia is still there. Tyler Guyton is there. I'm trying to see if J.C. Latham is gone. He's off the board, so you do not have Latham.
Yeah,
Fatanu is not there. He is gone. Joe Alt is not there. He is gone.
Waga?
Yes, he is gone. Okay. Sorry.
Just making sure, because that's the pick.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Waga, yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely open to moving back. I think you got enough tackle options, and I think Powers Johnson might make it.
Fashanu for Penn State is also gone. That's the other tackle.
All right, spin it. Let's see where we're going.
Okay, so we took took the deal from San Francisco. We picked up 94. So we now pick twice in the third round, and we're picking at 31. San Francisco takes Amarius Mims, Georgia, at 24. Okay. So that's what they came up to get a tackle. That's who they took. Wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. off the board to Green Bay. Buccaneers take a corner. Jackson Powers Johnson goes to Arizona at 27. So JPJ is gone.
Okay.
Tyler Guyton gone to the Bills at 28. A.D. Mitchell has gone to the Lions at 29. Chop Robinson is gone at 30. So, on your board, Tyler Newbin, Peyton Wilson, Zach Frazier, Ladd McConkey. You still have a quarterback there if you want to try and trade out. Bo Nix is there if teams are interested.
Yeah.
But I think we're trying to stay in and make this pick.
If Nick lives in this building, and I trust Nick on this for about the whole thing about this BYU thing.
Makes one of us here.
Yeah.
He's still there.
No, I trust you.
Is that your pick, or you're thinking that you can get Frazier at 56?
I think I can get Frazier at 56.
Okay.
So I would either go Kingsley or Edgerrin Cooper here.
It's interesting. Okay, so it's interesting because you said like Graham Barton's grown on you here lately.
Yeah.
Kingsley's grown on me quite a bit.
He's fun.
I had some concerns about the foot speed, the athleticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think when you watch him, I mean, I love the size and the power that he plays with.
Sure. Yeah.
I do feel more comfortable after, you know, taking more of a deep dive and just, you know, talking and bouncing notes around. I do think he could play left. And if they think he can play left, I think that's your pick there. Because to me, if you think you can make it to Frazier or you've got some other options, whether it's a Cedric Van Pran, I think there's
Penn
a big
State guy.
Yeah, I think there's a bigger drop off at tackle. If you believe that he's that guy, I'd go ahead and pull the trigger on the BYU tackle. Yeah.
And if you miss on Frazier at 56, like you said, there's still going to be center options later in the draft.
Yeah. Well, and now you've got an extra third to where you can move up.
You guys feel good about this linebacker room you got currently?
See, that's where you would have to be all right with it as well. You'd have to be okay with taking a linebacker day three, I think, at this point.
Yeah, because
and I'm okay with that.
You don't feel good with your offensive line.
I love Wallace. I'm a big Wallace guy out of Kentucky.
I like Wallace, too.
And I think he's going to go third.
Yeah, I think you could take him now third with that extra pick.
An extra pick.
That's fair. That's fair.
And you've got four picks in the top 100 now.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about your four biggest needs, you're talking O-line, linebacker, D-tackle, and then insert name here for the third.
You guys got me convinced about the BYU guy. So if that's
Kingsley,
what the room wants to do, go.
Let's go Kingsley.
I'm cool with it. It was funny. I looked back in the draft guide, and I've updated my ranking since then. I had him as a fit for Dallas in the draft guide. He's actually number 7 on my list now in tackles because I've gone back and watched him a little bit with the recent news.
He is tough to work
around.
He's
a legitimate player.
He really is.
Yeah. He's a load.
So he is the pick, Kingsley Suamatia, pick number 31 after trading out. So Zach Frazier is not there. He goes at 39 to the Carolina
Panthers. Right. That's all right.
So we thought about getting Zach Frazier at 56.
Let's redo this.
Not the case.
Just go back and take Frazier.
Here are some guys that are on the board at 56. You've got Keon Coleman. Oh, man.
Keon Coleman's there?
Here we go. Wait. He is there. Jonathan Brooks from Texas is there at 56. He's the number 2 player on this board specifically. Edgerrin Cooper is still there at Texas A&M. Then you've got a mess of guys. Chris Jenkins, Jalen Polk, Christian Haynes, if you wanted a guard. If you wanted a linebacker, you've got Junior Colson there as well. Xavier Worthy from Texas is still available at wide receiver. You've also got Jalen Wright from Tennessee. Zach, I know you like Jalen Wright.
I do love Jalen Wright. I think we could wait on Wright.
Okay.
You said Wilson's still there, too, from North Carolina State?
He is not. He went off the board at pick
number. But Cooper.
But Cooper is.
Cooper is, yes.
It's going to come down to me for Cooper or Brooks.
That's it for me as well.
So you're not even thinking Keon Coleman?
Oh, Peyton Wilson was the first pick of the second round.
Wow. No. Okay.
Because out of those three, Coleman's the best player for me.
Mm. So Carolina just took both of the picks you wanted, Peyton Wilson and Zach.
So it sounds like. Now, I can easily be talked off of Coleman because I think that it's just an embarrassment of riches at receiver, and we can stretch this thing out, so I don't need to take Keon Coleman.
You guys
Coleman.
Want to use that extra third we got for a running back? Because that's probably where you're going to – that probably would make the most sense.
I'd be eyeing Jalen Wright.
You're probably going to miss out on both of those guys, I would have to assume.
I think Cooper might be the guy that you got to pull the trigger on here.
Yeah,
I think
you're going to have more depth at running back there in round 3.
Yeah.
I think y'all are right.
And if you're talking about making an impact pick while also trying to pick for upside, which is what the Cowboys like to do with their second pick, is take a bit of a risk.
Yep.
But pick for upside, I don't think this is a risk. I think Edgerrin Cooper is a legitimate linebacker who's going to play immediately.
I have him behind Wilson. I mean, that Coleman to me, I look at my wide receiver board, and I kind of feel like though I see that big body standing there, but I look down and I see some other big bodies on that I really
agree.
Like too.
Yeah, because you still got guys like Malachi Corley, Javon Baker,
Leggett,
McMillan. I mean, there's a lot of good guys. So I'm with you. And Cooper, I think this is tremendous value to get him at this point.
I would go with Cooper here myself.
I'm with it.
I'm good. Let's do it. Edgerrin Cooper, Texas A&M is your second pick at 56. So right now the Cowboys have selected Kingsley Suamatia, picked up an extra 94th overall pick,
all right,
and then selected Edgerrin Cooper. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll have the third round where we pick twice.
Let's go. How about that?
We're really good at this,
Brian,
guys.
We're wheeling and dealing, baby. This is fun.
We're so good we're all doing radio.
This is awesome. The scouts are laughing at us, but I love you guys. You guys are the true gems.
We'll be back with more of the Draft Show right after
about this. Yeah.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Is the DallasCowboys.com draft show.
Back here on the Draft Show presented by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on. This segment is brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Want to remind you all to get your Dallas Cowboys Star Magazine Draft Guide, the official 2024 draft guide from the Star in Frisco. Features from myself, from Nick Harris, Patrick Walker, Nick Eatman, and a whole lot of the DallasCowboys.com crew. Check it out. It's full of draft prospects and bios for some of the top prospects in the country. All right, some of the guys that are in this magazine have been picked by the Cowboys Draft Show in our seven-round mock draft. Kingsley Suamatia out of BYU, the offensive tackle, was the selection at 31 after the Cowboys trade out with the San Francisco 49ers, and they pick up the 94th overall pick. Then they take linebacker Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M at 56. So we have two selections in the third round, 87 and 94, within legitimate stone throws from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys can pick up some of their needs. Here are some of the names on the board. If you have a question about somebody that's not here, not named, let me know, and I'll glitch.
We're at 87, right?
We're at 87 currently. Bucky Irving from Oregon, Trey Benson from Florida State. Remember, we did not take a running back at the second round pick. So there's two guys that are right there at the top of the board. As soon as I saw it, I knew it. Christian Mahogany, guard from Boston College. Cedric Van Pran out of Georgia. The center is still there. Mason McCormick, a guard that I really like a lot out of South Dakota State, is there as well. Some other names, Ray Davis from Kentucky, Zach Wolchuk.
I do love me some Ray Davis.
Michael Hall Jr., defensive lineman from Ohio State. Jeremiah Trotta, linebacker from Clemson. But Trotter, we already took a linebacker.
Got a linebacker.
So Van Pran's the best center.
That's what it looks like. Yes. Yeah.
I'm best center Benson on the board here, hands down.
Trey Benson.
I'm taking.
Oh, I'm taking. He's my number one running back.
I'm saying hand that card in for Trey Benson right now.
Hey, you don't got to sell me. That's RB one for me.
I don't think you got to sell me either. I'm taking it. So it's 87 taking Trey Benson. Yeah. Seeing what happens. Boom. Yep.
It's fire.
All right, that was easy.
94 is going to be the difficult part. I think.
94
maybe
gets.
Maybe we can get Van Prant.
Ooh, he's the top name still available on your board at 94.
I think that's tremendous. I think that's right around where he should go. He's big. He's played in big games. I like the size, the toughness, the physicality. Third-round pick that's right around where I've got him going. I think Van Prant would be a home run type of selection here.
What do the defensive tackles look like?
Because that's what I was going to ask.
What are the defensive tackles
getting look like? There? Michael Hall Jr., Dwayne Carter from Duke, Leonard Taylor III from Miami, McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M, but he's a little bit further down the board. He could be a fourth-round
guy. I love Michael Hall.
But
I like Michael Hall, too.
I love him.
Remember, we did not pick up a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
So we not have a selection in the fourth round. It's this one, and then our next selection comes up at 174.
Yeah.
So we got a little bit of a ways.
Okay, do we have any trade offers?
I can see.
I think if you take defensive tackle here, you run the risk that Hunter Norzad will still be available in the fifth.
I like Norzad. I think Van Prant might be.
I got Van Prant over him. But
I do too.
But I like what you're trying to do here. I do like you trying to find a defensive tackle. The thing about it is, are we looking at threes or are we looking at ones?
Yeah.
I mean, you're right about Hall from Ohio State. He's like 280 pounds, though.
Yeah.
He's a three.
Yeah, he's a three. He's
I mean,
a three.
That's a dude that's giving you pass rush ability.
To me, maybe, I don't know how you feel. Do you feel like this thing with having Osa, does that keep you from drafting a three technique?
Potentially, but I think that's also a situation where you can just bank on athleticism and that defensive
this
line.
This kid's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
He really
is. You've
got to
learn what Mozzie Smith is, too. Is Mozzie a true one again? Are you going to make him back into the one that he was in Michigan?
Come on, Mike Zimmer, work some magic.
Yeah, you mentioned about four defensive tackles, though, that I think are pretty good.
There is a trade offer, by the way, too. There's a trade offer on the board. You did mention McKinley Jackson. I like him a lot. 94 and Seattle wants the center. They want Cedric Van Prant. They're trying to come up and get him. They've told you they give you the Jerry Jones trick and they let you know on the board. They're coming up to get Cedric Van Prant, but they're going to give you 102.
That which starts the day, right?
It's second pick of the day.
Second pick of the day.
That's gold.
And they're going to give you 179. Both of these picks were originally Washington's picks. So they're going to give you those two.
So I'm getting the second pick in the fourth round and then the third pick in the sixth round.
I'm going to argue here that we take the center right now.
Take the center.
I think I'm with you.
I think it's a risk to not take. I think Van Prant's the last guy that's like, I feel I can plug and play and be pretty set.
I'll go with the room.
I like Norzad.
Fight.
I do. I like Norzad.
Yeah. You're going to fight for a tackle, right?
I'm fighting for a defensive tackle. I would probably a one tech.
If it was a one, I would totally be with you here.
It would be probably McKinley Jackson. That'd probably be the
I
guy
love McKinley Jackson. I do. And I've got him like in the. But I
think Van Prant's just better.
I got him in the fourth.
I agree. And you have to be able to be able to draft
Van
best player available. Yeah. So I understand that and not wanting to draft for need. But at this point, you're looking at going into day three still without your defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. Mozzie Smith is the only body that's still available there at one tech for you this time.
He makes
the
a damn good
camp.
Point.
But you look at the center position. Let's say you don't address that on day two. You still have Brock Hoffman and TJ Bass to be able to figure out that situation and any guard that you could throw in the mix, whether that be on day three or in the undrafted pool. I feel like the defensive tackle need and how big it is, you would have to go for it on day two.
This one's tough.
It is.
Because I'm standing on Van Prant.
If you're standing on Van Prant, Brian's standing on it. I'm indifferent, and you're probably against it. I'm indifferent because I think this is right around where Cedric Van Prant should go.
Me too.
And it addresses a need. But you are leaving a need out there. I can go either way with defensive tackle.
Again, what number do we pick up with Seattle trade? We go to 102, and what else do we pick
102
up?
102 and 179.
What's 179?
That's the third pick in the sixth round.
Sixth round. That's not enough.
That's all they're giving you.
I mean that's
love
not
that
enough to maybe
pick,
move.
But yeah.
Ah, darn it. I got Van Prant in the third. I've got Jackson, those guys.
In the fourth. I do too.
Yeah. Okay. But Nick makes a great point. I
like the argument.
Do you think you could get – do you like – let me ask you this real quick. Do you like the Penn State guy and like Limmer and those guys, do you feel like you could be okay there?
I feel like I could be okay there. That's why I'm okay with taking the defensive tackle and letting Van Pran walk. It'd be tough to do because I love Van Pran, but I feel like that depth at center on day three is a little bit better than defensive tackle.
All right. You know what to do just to have some fun?
Mm-hmm. Let's trade.
You trying to trade out?
No. Take the tackle. Take the tackle here and see if the center gets to us.
Okay. Take McKinley Jackson.
Yeah.
You're taking. Okay. Yeah,
we're doing an exercise.
Okay.
Here.
Let's do it.
Let's just gamble.
Let's go.
Let's gamble. And
I'm cool with exercises.
And cool.
These types. Not in the gym.
Exactly. I was about to say.
Okay.
I'm having to go way down the list here.
You don't have Mason Smith, right? I mean, you know.
No, I would go McKinley Jackson. If it was Mason Smith, then I would go Cedric Van Pran.
I mean, I'd argue for a Dwayne Carter here, too. I love
it's
that
a fun
kid.
Player.
Duke.
Yeah.
I think Dwayne Carter's got some massive upside, but I'm fine with McKinley Jackson. We know the Cowboys are interested.
Okay, gamble on Jackson and see if one of these centers gets to
us. So this is in this scenario, a reach on a player that you know you're not going to get in the fifth round just to reach on a player, right?
Yeah, just to see.
To fill a need and to go from there.
Just to see which center shows up for us at the in this.
So taking McKinley Jackson, now it's loading. It's going through. Picking. We got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting a long time on day three. We better have a lot to talk about on this show on day three.
I'm sure it's going to be fine. All right, here we go. So, yeah, most of those names are no longer available for you.
So every one of those centers is gone then,
yeah,
right?
They're pretty much gone. Here, Norzad? I'm going to interior offensive line. Norzad is available. Norzad is still there out of Penn State.
Bo Limmer.
Drake Nugent from Michigan is another center. Bo Limmer is gone. Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin, center, is still there. You've got Andrew Rame from Oklahoma, still there.
Matt Lee
from Miami is still there.
Okay, so
I mean, I'd take guys. Norzad would be the guy for me.
Just for the sake of the exercise, let's take a look at interior defensive tackle, or like defensive tackles in general. Oh, man, I don't know really any of these names. Evan Anderson from Florida Atlantic. Gabe Hall from Baylor.
Not a bad option.
Gabe Hall's not a bad
Justin
player.
Rogers from Auburn. These are all decent players.
Yeah.
They have them way down this
but
list.
I think
Jawan
this,
Briggs from Cincinnati.
The gamble paid off because I think Norzad's better than all those guys.
Yeah, I think
for sure.
So here at pick 174, we taking Norzad and running home with all of our needs taken care of.
Good job, bro.
I like this.
Let's go.
I like that a lot. All right, so taking Norzad.
Okay, now the question is about Jackson. I mean, that's going to be the one that might be the hinge for the draft right there. I mean, that's maybe on everybody's board, they're going to call that a reach. I know I had him in the fourth round myself. So to me, that's not a reach, but I'm sure the media will call it a reach.
So now that we've gotten to this point.
And the scouts are hating us right now.
They are all hating us.
But I wanted to see what names were there. I mean, I just wanted to see if it was one of those things where you take him and then none of the names are there, then maybe you're like, wow, that was too much. But with all the names being there that were there, those centers, I think it was worth it, man.
And you're talking about Norzad. We talked about center all the way through. It was Jackson Powers Johnson initially.
Well,
then it was Zach Frazier. Then it was Norzad in the fourth is what we settled on, or in the fifth is what we settled on. I think you feel good about the way you've addressed your needs.
How close on your guys' board is Van Pran and Norzad? Is it close?
Yeah, it is.
It's not that close for me. I've got a round difference between the
two. I got
a
three and a four between the guys is what I do.
I've actually got Limmer kind of sandwiched in between them. But I love Norzad. Norzad's more physical than Limmer is.
I've got a fourth and a fifth. So we took Norzad right where I would take him.
Okay, we're good.
So I think it's a good selection. Now we're on the clock. It's 2:16. This is the tail end of the sixth round. Needs are taken care of. Are we hunting traits yet?
I think in the six you got.
Is that
hunt.
What we're going
yeah,
here?
Yeah, I think you got.
I think
traits.
You're starting to look receiver corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to hear some of the receiver names?
Edge.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jordan Whittington from Texas, Dominique Lovett from Georgia, Zachary Franklin from Ole Miss, Lyderitrick Griffin from Mississippi State, Hayden Hatton from Idaho are pretty really the last names for wide receiver.
Let me throw a quick thought on the table when it comes to Lyderitrick Griffin, which I think they call him Tutu out of Mississippi State, so Tutu Griffin.
That's cool.
I like Tutu.
Looking at what John Fossil has said about this new kickoff rule and kind of how the strategy will go around it, expect to have two returners next year with the kickoff rule. So if you go and grab a receiver, do you go looking for a true X, or do you go look for a guy who potentially has some returnability to put right next to Turpin? Now, you do have Deuce Vaughn, don't get me wrong, but, you know, do you factor that in whenever you're thinking about potentially getting a receiver late on day three?
Yeah, I think that you would have to consider that.
I think you absolutely would. I like what you're, the direction you're going there. I didn't really like all the names there.
Yeah, I don't like Tutu Griffin here. I'm just I don't think he's a draftable player. I think he's an undraftable player.
Whittington would probably be my best name.
Yeah,
Whittington.
Corner situations?
Give me the corner situation there.
Let me get down here. There's some names on the board, like recent names that Dallas has looked at for sure. Here are the corners. Daquan Hardy from Penn State, Miles Harden from South Dakota, A.J. Woods from Pittsburgh. Marcellus Dial from South Carolina, Willie Roberts from Louisiana Tech, Jarius Monroe, Tulane, DeAndre Prince from Ole Miss, Dante Kent from Central Michigan.
Marcellus Dial is just such a Zimmer player.
That is a Zimmer guy, isn't it?
It's such a Zimmer player.
You think they let him pick after not – well, no, they gave him a linebacker and a D-tackle pretty early. Yeah. So he's pretty –
it's been
like
pretty
he's
balanced
okay.
offense and defense so far.
What about Edge? What are we looking at with Edge?
Getting there. Edge. So, Khalid Duke from Kansas State.
Not a bad player.
Weaver from Kentucky.
Ooh.
Trajan Jeffcoat from Arkansas. Cedric Johnson from Ole Miss. Miles Cole from Texas Tech. Charlotte edge rusher Oki Anoma. Steve Linton from Texas Tech. I think the only name that I'm even remotely interested in is Duke at the top.
Yeah,
there.
Duke would be the Duke.
I like Miles Cole quite a bit, but
do you like him better than Duke?
Miles Cole's got length.
He's got athleticism.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I mean that's a traits pick right there.
Yeah, that's a traits
Miles
pick.
Cole. I'm
Miles
with you. People love
what do you
speak
see,
highly
talk
of him.
Talk to me about what you envision him as a player.
Yeah, I think you can move him between 5 and then off the edge out at 7. I think he's a little bit versatile there on the end. He's got that big body to where he can kind of body up a guard if he needed to. But I think if you want to maximize his athleticism, you throw him around on the edge, let him hand fight, and let him get around.
I agree.
Yeah.
Before we make this pick, I want to take our second break. 216, 233, 244. We've got three picks left. Got some other names here for 216 I want to throw out there before we make our final decision. More of our 7-round mock draft coming up next on The Draft Show.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into 2 new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in 2 new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show presented by Miller Lite, taste you can depend on. Head to the Miller Lighthouse at AT&T Stadium for the Dallas Cowboys Tacos and Tunes Festival presented by Miller Lite. Saturday, May 4th from 3 to 7 p.m. Enjoy a variety of tacos from regions across Mexico and food truck fare while you sip on cold drinks and listen to live music. Admission and parking are both free. Visit attstadium.com/tacosandtunes for more info. We will see you there.
What day is that? May 4th?
That's May 4th.
Hey, you might see me there.
I went last year.
Cinco de Mayo
phenomenal
thing for you?
I'll do some tacos. Yeah. I'm always down for some tacos.
Who doesn't love a good taco?
Yeah, come on now.
That's birthday weekend for me. That's going to be a fun one.
Oh, happy birthday.
Well, it's in like 3 weeks.
Early birthday.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate you. All right. Also, wanted to thank everybody who signed up for the Fan 105.3's Draft 101.
Yeah.
105.3 The Fan putting on a cool little event across the way for draft fans out there, April 18th. And, man, sold out, right?
Sold out, yeah, in an afternoon. And, again, thank to Miller Lite as well for being a presenting sponsor there as well. And thanks to the Cowboys, too, for the partnership that we have with them and with you guys and working on the draft. It should be a great night. We've done these before where fans come in and it's kind of a kick it around. You know, they ask questions, you give them answers. It's a lot of back and forth. It's a lot of fun. So, again, really do appreciate Derek Eagleton, the Cowboys, the Jones family for allowing us to be here.
There
for
you
that.
Go. Yeah. 105.3 The Fan. Awesome. Doing great job on draft work. All right. We've got more draft work to do here inside the SWBC studio. 216, 233, and 234, or 244 are on the board for the Cowboys.
I'm not liking these names you're talking about.
Run us through our picks that we've already picked again.
So right now, the Cowboys have taken care of pretty much all of their draft needs. At pick 31, they take Kingsley Suamatia. At pick 56, they take Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M. Then in the third round with two selections, you take Trey Benson, running back from Florida State, McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle from Texas A&M, and then you go all the way down to the back half of the fifth round, and the Cowboys take Hunter Norzad, center from Penn State. So needs are pretty much addressed. You've hit everything need-wise, or at least breakneck need-wise. This could be double-dip territory, though, and the reason I say that, there's some names here that are intriguing in those positions
Real quick, ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I know we did the drill, but in real life, do you think you would have to take Norzad before you take Jackson? You know what I'm saying? If you're looking at the way that it fell, we saw it felt good for us, but in reality,
do you think Norzad's more of a value?
Do you think people will value Jackson less
because of the defensive tackle position?
Yeah,
that's interesting. I truthfully, I don't feel like
I'm interested to see if Jackson would have been there at the Norzad pick.
Yeah. I don't think he would have been in this situation.
I just was wondering. I was just in my mind, I was just playing it like, okay, you got both guys super happy, but I wonder if you could have flipped it.
What number was it that we ended up pulling the trigger on Norzad?
It was 174.
So he's not going to get the Jackson is not going to get to the fifth.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he's probably going to go in the fourth. Yeah.
Okay. If that's the case. No, I was just wondering. Okay. Yep. Carry on.
So here are some of the names. Possible double dip. We've looked at corner. Not great. Looked at wide receivers. Not great.
Edge. Not great.
Jalen Ford, linebacker from Texas,
I like this.
Tanner Bartolini from Wisconsin is still there.
Okay.
You've got Brandon Coleman, offensive tackle from TCU.
Whoa.
Is still there.
Whoa.
Curtis Jacobs, linebacker from Penn State, is still there. Keith Randolph Jr. from Illinois is still there. Defensive tackle. And then you've got Darius Muasau, UCLA linebacker, also available. So you can double dip at some of these positions.
Darius Muasau.
Muasau's good. I like Ford a lot myself.
Yeah.
How did Coleman get through here?
He's down there.
Coleman might be the guy that you got to go ahead and take.
Brandon Coleman. I'm okay with taking another tackle.
I think Coleman gives you some guard flexibility.
With the selection of Kingsley Suamatia at 31, do you feel like you have more depth at offensive tackle than you do at linebacker now that you've taken Cooper?
I think you have more depth at linebacker right now.
Really?
You got Overshown, Damone Clark, Cooper, and Eric Kendricks, at least going into 2024.
Okay. That's fair.
You look at tackle.
Can you expect one of them to go all four of them to go all season, though?
I mean, yeah.
You got to bring Marquise Bell back down?
That's part of it. I'm not saying the depth is great.
Yeah.
I'm just laying it out.
Yeah, but at tackle.
You look at tackle, and you got Kingsley Suamataya now. You got Terrence Steele. And then after that, it's just Josh Ball, Matt Waletzko. I still think he's a guard. Austin Richards, but
there's more names at tackle.
There's more names, but I think there's more
actual
production
depth.
What about reliability at linebacker?
Can we take a quick look at safety?
Sure. Let's see what safety's doing.
I just was
here.
Curious what names are at the safety spot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, where is
I'm starting
safety?
To there feel is. About safety kind of how I feel about tight end in this draft when it comes to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's like I don't feel like either of those positions you even need to, like, think about.
Okay.
That's just how I think.
There's just a lot of good safeties to where, depending on
there are.
What
yeah.
the board's looking
better
like.
Than,
I wouldn't hate safety. I would hate tight end. But I wouldn't
consider.
Trey Taylor from Air Force, Dominique Hampton from Washington,
I
Tyler
really
Owens
love him. Okay.
From Texas Tech, Kenny Logan Jr. from Kansas, Josh Proctor from Ohio State.
He's a good player.
From TCU.
Hampton would be – I still can't believe Coleman's there,
mm-hmm.
and it might be too much of a value not to take him, and I really do like Ford from Texas.
Yeah.
That is a big, long, rangy, get-after-you kind of guy at linebacker. I mean, this team – I don't know.
Ford would probably be my highest-rated player, actually.
I think I would have Coleman over Ford.
Yeah.
They're okay close. With either. I'm stacking them.
I stacked my first round last night, but I
have a fifth on both of them, but I have Ford as a tiny bit higher than Coleman.
I got threes on both those cats.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
That's why when you said Coleman,
you like him.
It got my attention.
Yeah, I've got a four on Ford.
What do you guys value more, offensive tackle or linebacker? Just in general.
I always
don't think about depth, just position
tackle.
Group.
I always value the offensive
That's what
line.
I'm thinking, too.
Probably take the tackle. I think that tackle, Brandon I think Coleman. He could play guard.
I do, too. I think he's got some flex.
If that's the case, let's take him.
All right.
Then you may have a backup guard there, too, if something happens, God forbid, in the middle. So Brandon Coleman is your pick at 216. Let's see what happens here at 233. Any of these names? Darius Mouassau still available from UCLA. Evan Anderson, defensive tackle from Florida Atlantic, is still there. A lot of those safeties that we just mentioned still there. Any thoughts here at 233?
Where's Edge?
Edge is still gross. Let's just
it's gross?
Yeah, it's gross.
Even like a super bendy guy.
Duke is still there. Duke from Kansas State is still available.
Ford's gone though.
Ford is gone. Yeah. Ford.
Mouassau is
still there. Yeah, still there.
I got some love for Mouassau, and I think he can also be a special team star.
I like Mouassau, and you just passed on Jalen Ford. I would love to pick him up and bring in.
I'd be very interested in some Mouassau guys.
Jay Luxon is long gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
I just mocked myself, and I got
Sundiata Anderson from Grambling State. Is he long gone?
That's a premier undrafted rookie free agent right there.
Hey,
you said his last name is
Anderson. So go
ahead
and get him as a comp pick in the seventh, so you don't have to deal with a bidding war.
That could be fine.
You said his last name is Anderson.
Anderson, yeah.
Yeah, he's not here.
You get anybody like Hampton from Washington?
The safety.
Yeah,
I'd
be 100%.
Like
I have not watched Hampton yet.
I'll tell you what, man.
I need to put him on the list. I need to watch him tonight.
Yeah, to me, this guy's interesting just in the way of, I mean, when you watch him play at Washington, it's like he's so physical. And the way that it's amazing to me because he's one of those guys that can play slot, he can play back, he can play, he can play up. He played a ton of games. He's a sixth-year player at Washington.
Mm.
Played 57 games. And there's some straight-line speed to him. But, man, he takes a run at receivers from depth. He is going to try and hit you at full speed at impact every single time. He wants to be a force in the running game. He's explosive. I mean, he communicates. The pre-snap, you see him, like, lining guys up. I think he sees the field really, really well. I mean, I think you could count on him to play coverage. And the experience, the toughness, a big part of his game. I would fight for a guy like that at 6'2", 215 pounds.
I like the plus length. I love what he does in coverage. The knocks that I had against him was being a little bit too aggressive in attacking ball carriers. His angular pursuit is not the best.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think that plus length, it offers a closer gap to be able to fill those, to be able to solve that problem than anybody else who would have, average arms, not the 33 and a quarter inch arms that he would have in this situation. But I think he's a fine player.
If you guys got another guy,
you don't have a safety yet. I need to watch the player, but the description you've given me at this point in the draft, and he can play special teams for you. If Bones likes him, sign up.
Yeah, and maybe the problem is he's played 6 years.
Just an older cat.
Is the sixth round. It's not like you're trying to draft.
Are we trying to draft in the sixth?
Seventh.
Oh, okay,
so
okay,
even
okay.
more.
Yeah.
So.
See,
yeah.
I think the experience and the toughness are just a huge part of his game. Yeah, the stuff that Nick, you're right. I mean, you're right about the player.
You're not planning on a second contract necessarily with this guy, anyway. If it happens, then hell yeah. You got yourself a steal.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think you take a chance on him. I don't know. I'm like you. I need to go back and watch him. But based off of what you guys are saying.
Who was the other guys? You had the mold. Did you have an edge that you really liked?
I threw out Sunday out of Anderson, but he's not on the board.
He's not there.
Yeah, Jalix Hunt is long gone.
I would fight for this kid then. I would fight.
I'd fight for Muasau, but I haven't seen your guy, and we don't have a safety.
See, I would fight for Muasau, and I haven't seen him either. So I'm good
with
taking
him. What do you think about Muasau as compared to this guy?
He's a little bit more narrow than I would appreciate at the linebacker position. Is Jordan McGee still available?
Yeah. That would be another one.
Because if Jordan McGee's there, I'm probably going Jordan McGee. He is?
He is available.
I would probably take Jordan McGee there,
too. Over both of those guys?
I'll tell you what, the thing about McGee,
What do you not like about McGee, Zach? I know you've been
he's just like a – look, at this point
– guys, we're in the seventh round.
I'm not going to have an issue taking Jordan McGee here.
Yeah.
I just see a tweener type of player. He's playing linebacker. He's built like a safety. You just went through that with Marquise Bell. And, heck, Marquise Bell played his rear off, right? But do you – I mean, the athleticism's there. To me, I don't always see the instincts with him. I think he can get washed out of plays. He can struggle to get off blocks. But he can run, man. I mean, he's got sideline-to-sideline speed. I think the coverage ability is there. So at this point, I'm not against McGee. I think we've talked a ton about you need instinctive playmakers at linebacker. I think you see instincts for Muasau when you watch him play.
I agree.
I see a lack of that with McGee. If you want to go just based off of athleticism, McGee's your guy. Mm-hmm. To me, I just think a guy that can actually, I think, find a home and a role on your team, I think I could play Muasau, and I'm not going to have a ton of concern about his ability.
Picking at 233.
They're both the same size, basically.
I know, but Musial's a little thicker, I think. I mean, maybe he's just a little bit filled out.
I'm just going on size. I wish I could physically see these guys walk.
And that's one of these things.
You saw Marcel at the Shrine Bowl.
I've seen both of these guys, and I'm going to kind of give you a comparison here because you brought up Marquise Bell as well. Marquise Bell, 6'3", 205, so he's got a longer frame. Darius Muasau at 6 foot, 225 pounds, a little bit more, you know,
he's
abbreviated, but a little bit more stockier. Jordan McGee, 6'1", 228, and he's just long. I think that's probably where you see the narrow frame, because I'm with you. You look at that torso, and it like comes in a little bit. It's like an hourglass body. But
you can add – if you're a seventh-round pick, short and stocky linebacker.
I think Dexter Coakley.
This is a developmental type of player in the seventh round. Yeah. So if you want to put weight on Darius Muasau, put weight on Darius Muasau.
You have more room to put weight on Jordan McGee.
Okay.
You do.
Do you feel like at 233 going down and picking at 244, do you feel like you have a better chance at snagging – either one of those linebackers again, or Dominic Hampton, the safety of Washington, again? I don't think Washington's going.
I'll let you guys take your linebacker, and I'll pray that Hampton gets there. I'm okay
with Hampton. I mean, you don't have a safety. I just haven't seen him, so I can't really fight in that.
Let's go with what we know. Take one of these linebackers.
Which one would you take? Go.
McGee.
Okay.
McGee.
Okay.
I'd go Muasau.
Okay, I would go Muasau.
That's fine with me.
Beam,
you're the tiebreaker. Who are you taking, Jordan McGee or Darius Muasau, the linebackers? Which one are you
Muasau?
Taking? Muasau.
Let's go. Let's go, Beamer.
Out of the back row of the scouts.
I love that.
Muasau. I do. I like it.
Paxton Anderson coming in with the tiebreaking vote.
Guys, I'm going to apologize here. I missed the name, and I think we would have taken him at 230.
It's Hopper?
No. Your very favorite linebacker that you expected to be gone in the mid rounds, not UTEP.
Trevin Wallace.
Trevin Wallace is still on the board.
What?
Oh.
What? What are we doing?
Okay, so we're just going to pretend.
Pretend
we took Trevin Wallace.
His name wasn't on the top of the list. I apologize.
There?
Wallace somehow fell. This is. I think what we did was more realistic. I don't think Wallace makes it that far.
I mean,
you just got your sixth round Donovan Wilson, Anthony Brown.
There you go.
Like,
so
we're gonna
put
Xavier
Woods,
plug and play. Let's
just say
go.
I'm just reading the cards. He's gone.
I think he's out. We've taken Darius Muasau in the seventh round is a more likely pick than Trevin Wallace in the seventh round. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in the picks between 233 and 244, Hampton went the pick after. He went at 234.
Wow.
Who took him?
The Indianapolis Colts.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. So, man, all of these names.
I blame
the ones
you for that
mentioned.
One, Nick.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, throw it on.
Okay,
me.
I take back my. Listen to this. This is funny. All of the names that we mentioned from 233 to 244 are pretty much done.
They're all gone.
Hampton gone. C.J. Hansen from Holy Cross gone. Willie Roberts from Louisiana Tech gone. Donovan Jennings from USF gone. Curtis Jacobs gone. Isaiah Davis gone. Tanner McLaughlin gone. Trey Knox gone. Oh. Khalid Duke is gone. And Evan Anderson goes the pick before to the Browns.
What about a receiver here? We going to try and pull the Jalen Brooks special back-to-back years?
Ooh, that'd be fun. You got two names to choose from. Hayden Hatton from Idaho and LaDerrick Griffin, the guy you mentioned out of Mississippi State.
That's it?
That's it?
Tutu, that's all Griffin? I got?
That's the only two names they have on
the
list.
Look, I'm down to take a guy named Tutu. I'm down for Tutu Griffin.
Oladapo from Oregon State, the safety, is still there.
I would fight for him.
I like Oladapo.
Absolutely fight for that
guy.
Blake Watson, Memphis running back, is still there. Jared Wiley, TCU, is still there.
Nah. Jared Wiley?
I know, but
there's no way Jared Wiley lasts to this point. I'm telling you, teams are probably going to like Jared Wiley. Jared Wiley's receiving ability.
Is it Kitten? Or you say Kitten? How do you say the kid? Oladapo?
Keaton Oladapo. Yeah.
Keaton.
Oladapo.
6'2", 216. This guy's pretty damn good. I wish he was a little bit more twitchy, but super impressive the way he's around the ball.
Okay.
I mean, you watch the USC game, he had a sack on a blitz. I mean, he could bring it off the edge, strong tackler, plays a really high motor, high effort guy. If you're going to draft traits, this guy's got size.
Yeah.
And he's got length, and he's got strength. And I feel like he can move pretty well.
Playing in the NFC against so many legit tight ends, you want a guy that can man up on tight ends.
Yeah.
He's one of the best safeties in the class at manning up on
tight ends. Yeah, especially with Curse not being on this team right now. Yeah. So I'm with you guys on that. I do think Watson out of Memphis is intriguing to me when you bring up the return ability. You get the comp with Pollard just because they went to the same school. But Watson, watching him at that East Rush Shrine Bowl, his ability to run in between the tackles really impressed me because he's not a huge guy. But the speed's there, the receiving ability. Like, I get it. You've taken Trey Benson earlier.
Take him. How many plays is he going to play for us in a game?
Blake Watson.
I'm going to ask the Parcells question.
No, you're right. I mean, he 5 to 8,
if that.
Do you want to take a chance?
Because he'd play special teams.
Fair, maybe you'd
sprinkle him in.
I was thinking carries.
I mean, offensively, maybe 3 to 5.
Yeah.
We could take a chance on a quarterback here. It's the final
pick. Did you forget Caleb Williams on the board or something like that?
Yeah, he's sitting right here.
Jordan Travis.
No, Tungavailoa is still there from Maryland. We talked about Sam Hartman on Tuesday. He's still there.
Sam Hartman.
Keaton Slovis from BYU.
Yes.
Devin Leary from Kentucky.
Should we go the Packer way here? Just go ahead and always take a quarterback in the draft?
I tell you, Sam Hartman is intriguing to me. I don't know what happened to the young man. Mm-hmm. At one time in his life, he was talked about as one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And he went from – and he put really Wake Forest on the map with the way he played. Went to Notre Dame, and I know they went to a bowl game and stuff. Probably not the type of season that they wanted to have, but – I don't know. If you're going to throw a dart, I would throw a dart at him.
Great hair, by the way.
Oh, outstanding hair. I mean, the guy's a model.
Oladipo from Oregon State makes a hell of a lot of sense, though.
Oladipo.
Too, for me.
Oladapo.
Is that what you're saying?
It's not Victor Oladipo's cousin.
Like you're not drafting an NBA star.
Oladapo.
All right, let's dap it up.
That's on me. Oladapo. Yeah.
So is that what we're picking? Is Oladapo here?
Yeah, I think in real life you would special take Hartman, but Hartman's not going to be there in the 7th round. If we're sticking to being realistic, I think Keaton Oladapo goes here.
I think there's a possibility that some of these quarterbacks, these lower tier quarterbacks,
I don't think
Slovis and guys like that maybe, but this kid, I think
Hartman's out in the 4th.
I think if
Brock Purdy can go as Mr. Irrelevant, I think Sam Hartman can go undrafted.
I would say that Hartman.
I had a better grade on Brock Purdy than I did
on Hartman.
Would you say that Hartman, when you watch him, is better than Purdy?
From college
tape? Yeah, from college
tape. I'm taking Purdy over Hartman.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, that's my thought process. I don't think it's out of the ordinary that he's sitting
I'm
there.
I'm with you. Like, Sam Hartman does have some ability that you're thinking.
I think
if you're going to take a dart throw, take Hartman.
That's a dart throw. I think what you guys are saying with Oladapo.
Oladapo.
I keep getting confused. So Oladapo.
By the way, Hartman was a fan favorite at the combine.
People liked him at the combine.
Because he was the only one that ran, and every time he ran, he got a standing ovation.
Well, because his hair was flowing like fun.
Yes.
It's like Lord Farquaad.
Yeah.
He looks a lot better than Lord Farquaad.
He's a little taller.
A lot taller.
But if you're going to take a special teams possibility, Oladapo is that guy.
Yeah.
He might end up starting the way he plays.
Sure.
He's that kind of guy.
Then let's take him.
He might be a better safety than that USC kid.
Yeah. If we're asking the Bill Parcells question.
This might be our Tom Brady moment here.
I'm like, always looking for that.
This might be our Tom Brady moment. We passed on a guy that ends up being a really good player.
I'm okay with taking Hartman then. You've convinced me. You've convinced me. I'm okay with it.
We're taking Sam Hartman. Why not?
You want the dap boy.
You know what, though?
I'm cool with taking Hartman.
This is what you do, man. And if you're going to throw a dart on a guy, I would throw a dart on him. I would throw a dart on this guy.
On Hartman?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yep. Let's throw a dart. So Sam Hartman is our pick. Hey, if they don't end up throwing a dart on him and he ends up being Tom Brady, then we all look really smart on this show. Yeah. We can always point back to this show. Here's your draft class, Cowboys fans. Cowboys trade out of pick 24, receive pick 94 in exchange with the San Francisco 49ers. And with that 31st pick, they take Kingsley Suamataia from BYU, the center, early on. Then you've got at pick 56, Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M. Trey Benson from Florida State. The tailback is the third-round pick.
Been all right so far.
Extra third-round pick, McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle from Texas A&M.
They're going to question them on us on that one.
Yeah, they said D on
you better hope
this
that
grade.
Hits. Yeah. You better hope that hits.
Yeah, that one was a little bit of a reach, but you didn't pick from 94 to 174. That's 80 selections that you had
we
to
determined
wait.
He was not going to be there in the fifth. That's why you make the pick.
That's why you reached on him and got it done.
Yeah.
Hunter Norzad, Penn State center, was there. That's your value pick for waiting.
We did.
Brandon Coleman saw some value on the backside, too. Offensive tackle at 216. That. Darius Muasau from UCLA, the linebacker at 233, as you double dip both at tackle and at linebacker. And then you throw a dart at Sam Hartman, Notre Dame, at 244. There's your pick.
Wow.
I think that Benson pick might be my favorite.
Yeah. The Benson one is.
Oh, that Benson pick's juicy.
Well, and you've got a legitimate starting linebacker. Think about the combination of Edgerrin Cooper along with DeMarvion Overshown.
Yeah.
Those two
speed.
Together is going to be
speed
fun at
for
the second
days.
Level.
Yeah.
And then you've got a linebacker.
Come on, Jackson. Come on.
Offensive tackle
Jackson.
Working. Yeah, you got to get Jackson. McKinley Jackson to work.
Yeah.
We did this on Pro Football Focus. They ranked us in the top 90% of Cowboys drafts.
Nice.
Nice job, guys. Well done.
Yeah, woo! If you have DeMarvion Overshown and
that probably
Cooper
means
there,
it's going to be a bad draft.
If you have Overshown and Cooper there playing in the linebacking core for the Cowboys for the next like 6 years, it's like Aggies and Longhorns fans doing like the Blood and Crips, like tying the bandanas
but
together.
The blitzing ability of both of them. Yeah, oh, yeah, Mike Zimmer can have
nice.
A lot of
it was
fun.
Good fun.
There's
that
a
was
lot,
great.
Lot of options at the
second
level.
All right, Twitter
level.
On the 20 or?
Yeah, so when we come back, we're going to hit it
sorry,
on Tuesday.
Folks.
Yeah, we're going to hit it on Tuesday. Took up the whole show, but hey, it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a blast.
I enjoyed that.
All right, War Room Central here at the SWBC Studios. For Chris Beam, Nick Harris, Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long. We will see you next week on the Draft
Show. 2 more weeks.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys?